The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Packers improved to 7-3 after a victory yesterday over the Bears, 20-19. But if we're being honest, guys, there are cracks in the foundation. There are issues that this Green Bay Packers team needs to get shored up if they want to make a deep playoff run. And look, Packers fans do. That is the standard of Packers fans, that this has to be a Super Bowl team. Are we spoiled by having Favre and Rodgers and having championship caliber teams? Maybe, but that is the standard. And I think that the issue that a lot of people are saying, and it is multifaceted, that's the other thing, right? It's not just one thing where you go, well, you just got to clean up the pass rush, or you just got to live with the pass rush. I think that you look around and you go, where are the playmakers? Jair, again, not available. Now, maybe he is injured. That's what they're telling us. But, like, it's another game when Jair Alexander is not available when the team needs him. We've talked about the pass rush. Where are these guys that they have paid big bucks to? And when we talk about that, guys, you have to talk about Jordan Love as well. Because Jordan Love got paid the big bucks this offseason. And some of that is where he was on the conveyor belt. It was his turn. His time to sign a big deal. And he had had a really successful second half of last year. And that made him eligible for a big-time contract. But has he played well enough this season, Chew, to justify it?
Not yet. Not yet. When you're the highest-paid guys, you would expect a top five type play at the quarterback position. Where is he statistically? Is he outside the top 10?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yesterday certainly didn't help.
You know where he's top? He's near the top, though, is picks.
Interceptions?
Yeah, I believe that leads the league. 11 interceptions.
I mean, they're a second-tier team. How many teams do you have in the first tier? I mean, in the NFC, obviously Detroit, I put Philly above them. Where would you put Washington? Same tier as Packers?
Yeah.
Where would you put Minnesota?
What are we, power rankings on a Monday?
Kind of somewhere just, between the tiers. I mean, I think that the Vikings are better than the Packers, but I don't know if the Vikings are a championship caliber team either.
I wouldn't say they're elite.
Correct. So they're kind of a tweener team.
It's just this.
I got to pull it's up just, the
NFC. There seems a big gap between elite and second tier team.
I would agree.
To me.
I would agree.
It just feels that way. Because all the Toads want to ignore Minnesota and Detroit. Those games. Those games were not close. Okay? They weren't close. So let's stop acting like they were.
And the fact
and
that
we're
those...
not sitting here saying they can't, it's over. No. We're just saying, you know what? You better start playing better football.
And it's one of those things where those games, Chew, because they were at home, it makes it feel worse. Because on the road, in those environments, you know, it can kind of get away from you, right? Like, oh, this game just got away from you. It happens on the road. At home, down 28-0, down 24-3.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel good. It stings.
I mean, the way it's trending, because I'm certainly not picking them against Detroit or Minnesota. I don't even know if I'm picking them this week. I mean, you're going to have to play three games on the road against three quality opponents. You think that's happening right now, the way they're playing?
No.
Can they go to Washington and win? Can they go to Detroit and win? Can they go to Philly and win? Come on.
Not in a row.
Yeah. That's what's going to have to happen.
Correct.
Is there any concern that any of the other... I don't think there is. I'm looking at the NFC standings right now. There isn't any concern that any other team from any other division could swoop in front of the Packers, right? Lions, Eagles, it looks like the Cardinals are going to win their division, or at least are in position. They're in pole position right now to win their division. Falcons are in pole position to win their division. And then you fill it in with the Vikings, the Packers, the Commanders, the Rams, the Seahawks, and now we're at the 10th team, which is the 49ers.
If you lose to the 49ers, it becomes a little more interesting because now they're just a game behind you and they have the tiebreaker. So I mean, that's why this game, you could put the 49ers in a very advantageous position if you win the game on Sunday, and they're going to have a heck of a hill to climb. You lose that game, and you're making things more difficult for yourself, giving yet another team a tiebreaker over you in the NFC.
Did you watch any of that game, San Fran?
I did not, no.
I mean, I know Kittle was out, which is big, and they've been banged up a year long, but they're better than the Bears.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, 100%. Not going to disagree with you there, Chu. They are better than the Bears. Their offense just hasn't been that explosive.
Yeah. Well, is the line out yet, Gabe?
One and a half. Packers are favored by 1.5.
Yeah, I mean, that's a push 'em. So.
Lots of reactions still rolling in, guys, as we talk about the Green Bay Packers this morning. If the pass rush doesn't improve this year, is it reasonable to consider cleaning house on the defensive line? Isn't it pretty difficult to do wholesale changes on a unit in the NFL? This is not college football transfer portal where you can just like...
Kenny's not really going anywhere because you just gave him the extension this offseason. So Kenny Clark's not going to go anywhere. You're on the hook for $25 million next year for Rashawn Gary. If you really wanted to move on, you'd have to post June 1st him to spread that cap hit out over 2 years. It would be tough. And finding impact edge rushers is hard to do on the open market because teams just don't let them go. You would have to find somebody like you did in 2019. Za'Darius Smith had not had a double-digit sack season until the Packers scooped him up, and he's been a Pro Bowler ever since. So it would have to be somebody like that you'd take a risk on, in addition to drafting somebody else.
I tell you, next week I'm starting Cox. Right? At left end? He looked the most explosive.
You're certainly giving him more snaps than Lucas Van Ness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, because Engabare is the one who started Chu. It was Engabare and Gary.
Yeah, but I thought Cox looked the most explosive. He kind of looked like he was intimidating a little bit, you know? I like his demeanor as a defensive player. He might not be super skilled, but he's got more than Van Ness, right? I don't know. I just think there's a lot of questions.
So when we had Adam Schefter on the show the other day, Chu, he was rattling off the thing, and he was like, they should win against the Bears, they should win against the 49ers, they should win, and the only losses he saw on the schedule were the Lions game and the Vikings game. I don't think they can afford for it to go that way. I think they have to steal one of those games, preferably the Lions, obviously, just because of already having the loss to them and them being 9-1 as far as their record goes so far this season. But the way that they're playing, and if this is on both sides of the balls right now, Chu, I don't know if that can happen. I don't know if the way that this team is playing, and I saw somebody say, oh, did you guys miss that Jordan Love went 13 of 17 yesterday? Can this team win if Jordan Love is throwing 17 times in a game? I think we all think that the blueprint is, yes, a healthy dose of Josh Jacobs, but you need Jordan Love to be playing like a top-tier quarterback. And top-tier quarterbacks are not game managers. And game managers are the type of guys, Gabe, who have 17 passes in a game.
No, more often than not, if you've got a guy who's really good and he only throws 17 passes in a game, that's going to be a really good thing. Because that means your ground game is working and the other team's not stopping it, and you're just going, hey, we'll just give it to this guy. We'll keep riding that. We can get big plays because the pass numbers yesterday, I mean, 261 yards on 13 completions. The big plays were there. The only issue with Jordan yesterday was the interception. Like that's the one thing you're going to knock him on because he continues to turn the ball over, and he just can't stop doing it. But I had no problem with him only throwing it 17 times yesterday because the run game was working. I mean, he scrambled 4 times, so there's 4 more pass plays that ended up being runs because he scrambled. But you figure he ran it. You called 21 pass plays. 4 of them, he just ended up taking himself.
But that was more of a product of the defense couldn't get off the field.
Yep.
Right? I mean, the time of possession was, what, 7 minutes
off or something like that? Oh, so lopsided. Was it 34-22?
Yeah, it was 43 plays. I mean, that should be a half. Right?
Can be.
They're just not. They're not clicking. They're not clicking. And they can get there. But there's blame to go all around.
So, Chewy, okay? What is the thing they need to focus on this week? This week, what do they need to focus on? Because you keep saying they can get there, which is great. I think that is an optimistic viewpoint, that this team, despite having flaws, despite having issues that still showed up yesterday, defensively especially, they can get there. What is the first thing they need to do to get a step closer to being what everybody thinks they can be?
Gel. And it starts with LaFleur. I mean, you can only run the play that's called. Right?
Or the can.
Most times you can see a rhyme or a rhythm to a coach calling
reason.
Plays in a game. What's that?
It's a rhyme or reason.
Oh, thank you.
unless you're writing a song.
I just don't see the creativity, I just don't see, because I thought LaFleur in the past has been very creative. I think he's really good at the first 15. Comes out, but then it just like cannot figure out what they're doing.
Did the Packers get outcoached yesterday?
Not Richie, boy. Way to go, Richie.
Don't we usually give people a pass, though, when you have a new coordinator or you have a new quarterback or you have a new thing because you haven't seen it on film? Don't we usually give them a pass and say, yeah, it's the great unknown. It's the Wild Wild West. You have no idea. And maybe I think that should apply here with the changing of the offensive coordinator in Chicago and them going, we don't know what we're going to see. We're going to do the best we can to adjust on the fly and adjust as the game goes on.
I think that's fair, but I also think the reality is even with that, like Halfley didn't adjust to Caleb Williams running, which became very clear. And a lot of the successful plays were just those quick screens, which I could have told you they were going to run. That was a thing that worked for them in the past and they got away from as the Bears. So even though we didn't know what Thomas Moore was going to run, you could have had a good idea. I mean, they went with what was similar to what they've done with Jaden Daniels all year. Quick, easy throws, not having to make him work or think a lot. And
Use the athleticism.
And you use DJ Moore a lot. Yep.
Yeah. And then run.
Well, you got to use DJ Moore because otherwise he walks off the field.
Yes. Which you probably could have predicted. They want him. They need him. Probably going to target him.
But if they lost, how much harsher would we be? Suck? Terrible?
If they lost, I think the criticisms all still exist. I just feel worse because they're 6-4 versus 7-3. At this point, you have to just collect as many wins as you possibly can just to get in the playoffs, too. Because if you lose that game, you're talking about the ping pong balls. Are they a Super Bowl team? If they lose that game yesterday, we are staring down as much of a must-win game as you can have in the middle of February with San Francisco coming to town if they lose that game yesterday.
November.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, that's what you're looking at. You're looking at
so
that
San
big
Fran
of a game.
San Fran's not a must-win?
It would be more of a must-win if they lost yesterday.
I mean, are you trying to win the division, Gabe?
I'm trying to get in the playoffs right now, Chew. First step, step by step. Like, in order to win the division, they probably have to go 6-1 the rest of the way, and I don't know if that's possible. But to get into the playoffs, we'd first need to get to double-digit wins. It's the old Mike McCarthy thing, right? Get to 10 wins, look around, see where you're at, win the division, and then the successes starts piling on top of that. I'm trying to find a way to get to 10 wins, look around, see where we're at, and then go from there.
Look, nobody here is saying that you shouldn't be celebrating the victory. Nobody here is saying that you should feel bad about walking out of Chicago with a 2019 win. What we are saying here is, in order to be where you think this Green Bay Packers team should be, and again, high standards. This is the price of being a Packers fan. You expect greatness. You expect excellence. Mm-hmm. Every single year, you expect them to win the division, which has gotten harder with the improvement to Detroit. You expect them to win the division, be in the playoffs, make a deep run. Hopefully, they're going to get over that hump at some point and win an NFC Championship game and be in the Super Bowl. That's why they paid Jordan Love all that money, because they think he could be the guy to get them there. And I'm seeing a lot of people who are attacking the show talking about that we're negative. If you don't focus on the things that could trip you up over the last 7 games of the season, guys, you're negligent. You're obtuse. That would be like riding in your car and all the dummy lights are going off on the screen. I know from experience. And getting to your destination and going, whoop, well, we got here. Don't need to do anything else. We got to where we were going. Because you want to know something, guys? The next time you get in the car, those dummy lights are still going to be there. And you're going to have an issue the next time you're driving. And you might not get to your destination next time. So all we're doing is saying, hey, man, the dummy lights are on the dashboard. Address them.
Well, I agree with
what Jen was saying. I don't know if she's the right messenger to be talking about, the dummy. This is like Quay Walker yesterday after getting juked in the hole, getting the defense around and going, no, guys, this is what we got to do, and being the rah-rah guy. Like, yeah, man, you just got juked out. So Jen, using the example of the dummy lights on the dashboard, I don't know if that message is going to quite hit, seeing as how she's the one who's consistently, ignoring the dummy lights on the dashboard.
You're 2 weeks out from your last incident.
It's a classic case of do as I say, not as I do.
Kind of a glass houses situation right now.
We gotta take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Let's talk about those Badgers next. And we have Rob Domofsky coming up at the bottom of the hour. Stick around.
It is Victory Monday. It's brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's Urban Pie, and Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, everyone who I let try borscht likes it. They don't love it, but it's a liver.
What an endorsement.
This is your pitch.
But hold on.
If you're like, guys, good luck. I don't even have to talk anymore.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You got to make your way over to the Potawatomi Casino Hotel Milwaukee Sportsbook. It is fantastic. It is an elite experience. It is a sports betting paradise. State-of-the-art venue, dozens of self-service betting kiosks, seating for more than 200 people, a first-class bar and restaurant, a VIP deck, and the broadcast booth where we do the weekly wager every single Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. If you're short on time, they've also got free 20-minute parking in the structure. They have figured it all out, guys, so you should figure it out. Get over to Potawatomi to bet above the rest.
The best you ever had, the best you ever had is just a memory.
As of November 18th, the Wisconsin Badgers offense has faced significant challenges during the season. Nationally, they rank 97th in scoring offense, averaging 23.9 points per game. No. We don't do that. 91st in total offense at 363 yards per game. In the Big Ten Conference, that is near the lowest in both categories. And that is why Phil Longo is no longer employed by the Wisconsin Badgers, guys. It was announced just now. You can play the horn. Chewy, you were ranting and raving about the air raid offense last week when we were talking about Barry Alvarez not knowing what the identity of this Badgers team is. Does firing Phil Longo give you optimism that the Badgers can turn things around?
In the next two games?
Well, I guess let's go with the more vague
future.
Eventually.
Yeah. It's more of a next year type question. Can they be better in 2025? Yeah.
They just need to go back what they do best, right? I mean, you should be getting all the monster linemen out of the state. You know they get a top rank back, right? They always have. They always will. The problem with the air raid offense in Wisconsin's, you know, for years and years been a run the ball team. And I'm not all for three yards in a cloud of dust, but the air raid, they're so worried about RPO, there is no deception to the run game, right? It's RPO. Do we run it? Okay. Quarterback takes the snap in the shotgun and hands it. There's no deception, right? That's the problem. They need to go with what their strength is. In order to run the air raid very well, you need stud receivers. But I'm sorry, Wisconsin, you're not going into Texas. You're not going into California or Florida and grabbing three five-star receivers. It's not going to happen. You know what you do? You grab three five-star offensive linemen from the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, but
and then you run a pro set style offense, Jen, where you have a stud receiver, a very good tight end, and a stud running back.
Yeah, but don't you also need a stud-ish quarterback? Like, to me, at that game the other night, too, the disparity between Dylan Gabriel, who, by the way, did not play his best game because the Badgers defense was all over him, and Locke was a galaxy, man. And the problem is, and I said this last week, guys, the more irrelevant you are, and the Badgers are irrelevant, man. They're irrelevant in their conference. They're certainly irrelevant in the college football playoff era. The harder it is going to be to spend all that money to get a top-tier quarterback. And that's where they are right now, guys. How many great quarterbacks are there in college football? Five? Maybe? Right? Maybe if you say how many good, you can extend it to maybe 15. Right? Like, and the teams that have them are the teams that are in the playoffs. You don't win in college football with defense, right? There are some conferences who in the past have just bypassed it altogether. So the Badgers just find themselves on the outside looking in. I don't know how, and I made a sarcastic reference. Hey, can you just go buy a quarterback? And people were like, have you heard of a NIL? Have you heard of the collective? Yes, that's how you do it. My point was, pool all the money, guys. Put it all together. I still don't think you're going to get a top-tier quarterback. I don't think the Badgers are interesting enough, relevant enough, good enough to lure a top-tier quarterback away from a team with all the money in the world, Gabe.
So how did Indiana do it?
Cignetti.
Well, but it's not like Indiana has been. When was the last time Indiana football was relevant? If you've got, I mean.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And Cignetti's good. Luke Fickell went to the college football playoff when there were only four teams. Like, he's a good enough coach
to
do it.
Desmond Ritter, right? He was the quarterback he took him.
Yeah, so he's, I mean, I think Fickell is still good enough. What's going to be interesting to me is
Fickell is good enough. I agree. I still don't think they can get a QB.
Who? Why not? If Indiana can get a quarterback, Wisconsin can get a quarterback. That's good enough to get you inside the top 12.
You know what? In order to be really successful at the air raid, you need a stud quarterback. In order to be successful running a pro-style offense, you need a good quarterback. That's the difference.
So that's the thing to me, Chu. It's going to be very interesting to see who they hire and what type of offense he wants to run. It's going to tell you a lot what Luke Fickell wants to do and what he sees as the future of the offense for Wisconsin, depending upon who this next hire is. Because how good was Alex Hornibrook? He had him to 11-0. And Alex Hornibrook is galaxies ahead of Locke. When you're running more of that pro-style offense, Chu, as long as you have a good receiver, a good offensive line, and talented running backs behind you, you can get inside that top 12 if you're Wisconsin.
Josh, do you think it's as simple as getting rid of the air raid and Wisconsin will be relevant again?
I don't think it's that simple. I still think there's ways to go with the program. I think there was an indecision on which way to go forward. I don't. The recruiting hasn't been good enough. The guys you brought in to be the talent for that air raid aren't very good. I think it's a step in the right direction, and the Badgers needed to evolve. We need to remember how bad things were at the end of the Paul Chryst era. I do think a pro style, like Chewy said, is the way to go, and you got to stop taking the guys off the scrap heap that are the quarterbacks. The new way forward is clearly either you get the biggest guy at quarterback that's a recruit,
or
you get one of those older guys. Like, I mean, Cam Ward's like 23 years old.
So it's Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, and they're all
been in college football forever.
Those guys are older than starting quarterbacks in the NFL. But if you don't get one of those top three, four guys, Tanner Mordecai and Tyler Van Dyke aren't good enough, even if they were playing. Like, it's just they're not there. I think there's a way to go, and you need to kind of get back to more what Wisconsin is known for, and that's running backs. Like I said it on the Saturday program, the post game. There's no one who can take over a game. They're talent deficient across all the playmakers positions. Like, you think there's some talent there, but there's nobody who's going to put a team on their back and win some of those games that maybe they shouldn't.
Yeah, like once Oregon took the lead in that game, I didn't think Wisconsin was scoring again. They couldn't move the football. Just couldn't do it. So I did not think that, you know, once Oregon took that lead in the fourth quarter, kind of felt like that game was over just because they weren't going to be able to, unless they got lucky and somebody missed a tackle, they weren't going to be able to move the football to get in a field goal range to even tie it.
Just set your sights on like the MAC or like the Mountain West and go get the best quarterback out of there and pay him a little money. Don't try to go to Florida State and get the, you know, the guy who's ticked off about, you know, being benched and stuff like that. That's all you need. You need a good quarterback. You don't need a great one. And you know what? Like you said, Jen, you're not going to get a great one. So don't even try. Just go to the next level.
Wisconsin plays Nebraska on Saturday, then Minnesota to close out the regular season. Quickly, Joshy's record in those final two games? 0-2, 1-1, 2-0.
1-1. They can win one of these games. Those programs aren't good enough to think they're just going to get manhandled.
We got to take a break on this show. We've got Rob Domofsky coming up next. Stick around.
We need a new intro for this year, though.
All right, we'll work on it.
Consider it done, Rob.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
Look, I would suspect that we don't see Malik Willis throw the ball down the field a whole lot, especially early, but it would not surprise me if we got back to more of the quick West Coast stuff.
Our most musically inclined and bald guest.
I was overly harsh about Gabe's golf game because I played terrible yesterday.
It's Rob Domofsky.
This better be a great segment.
On Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Catching a little bit of flack on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line and YouTube stream this morning as fans think we are being too negative about a 2019 victory over the Chicago Bears. Let's check in with Rob Domofsky and see what he thinks. Good morning, Rob.
Hi, Jen. How are you?
We're good. And I don't think we're being too negative. I think we are just calling out that I thought going into that game, the Packers were going to absolutely destroy the Chicago Bears. I thought they were a dead man walking. Packers are a good team. Jordan Love is healthy. They are coming off the bye. I know rivalry games and whatnot, they can be quirky, But I didn't leave that game going, whoa, we are rolling. We got this thing. How should fans feel this morning after that game?
I think they should feel like they got really, really lucky. In fact, that's one of the things I wrote in my instant takeaways right after the game, that posts immediately. It's a lucky win. You do all those things, you know, wrong, and you still come away with one. But on the flip side, there can be a lot of value in that, it's a could be a wake-up call, and B, it's just the momentum that you get from winning a game like that at the buzzer. You know, that locker room, I'm telling you, was pretty jubilant. And at that point, those guys weren't thinking about, oh, we screwed this up, we screwed that up. They were – that was a momentum-building type of game, especially coming out of the bye when you haven't played in a couple weeks. Conversely, had they lost it, I think it could have been a really detrimental loss to the season. But I would say, you know, that locker room in Chicago yesterday was it was pretty upbeat, and I think that's the important thing that they can take from this is that they come out of here feeling pretty good about it.
Rob, why doesn't LaFleur like target his studs more? Like, I look at Tucker Kraft yesterday, which, you know, you're playing the Bears and their type of defense with play action pass. He has one target yesterday, not even involved. I know there were only 43 plays, but
yeah, I was just going to look at the target.
Why doesn't he target his horses more? You know, if Holmgren gave me the first 15, Rob, and I had no plays in it, I would pout like a little girl.
I don't even know if they give that to the guys anymore.
Sorry.
But you know what? Like, you know, part of the downside of having, you know, a bunch of B to B plus type players and not having one that's maybe an A player is that very thing, that there's going to be times where guys just, they just aren't part of it. And yeah, I didn't realize that he only had the one target, no catches, obviously. But I mean, they only threw 17 times. So it's not like there was a ton to go around to begin with. You know, and what were they? What were they on third down?
One of five.
Yeah, 1 of 5 on third down. The Bears were 9 of 16. So, yeah, I mean, you're not going to get a whole lot done offensively when you have 43 plays.
Rob, going into the bye, you had your article at ESPN.com about four things that the Packers needed to clean up going, you know, for the rest of the season into the second half: the interceptions, penalties, the pass rush, and forgetting the and the drops. Of those four, do you think any were corrected to a point of, okay, now we can start building off of that for the rest of the season yesterday?
Pass rush, no. Interception, no. drops, Romeo Doubs had the one, and it was
on
a
third
bad
down.
One. Yep, on third down, that's one of those ones we're talking about here. And let's see what the penalties were. Zero penalties. Wow.
No. The Packers had 3 penalties for 25 yards.
Oh, 3. Yeah,
but I would argue, right, Rob, they were at inopportune times. I mean, you can argue about the one that Xavier McKinney got, which was pretty bogus.
Yeah.
But illegal man downfield on 2nd and 1 inside the 10, you know, the inopportune times for the Packers with those penalties.
Yeah. We talked to McKinney about it, and I don't know what else. He even said, he goes, I tried to pull back on it. I guess I would say the only thing that was closest to being fixed were the penalties, because I'm going to throw that one McKinney one out, so you're talking 2 for 10 yards. But, yeah, they weren't great timing. And, you know, one drop in 17 throws, maybe that's not great either.
Rob Domofsky hanging out with Jen Gabe and Chewy, as he does each and every Monday during the football season. Can we talk about Jair for a minute? Are we to the point, Rob, where he just is not going to push through anything? I mean, I cannot tell you the tweets. Poppity, pop, 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 pop. Yeah. Jair Alexander, good to go. Jair Alexander out on the field. He's warming up. It looks like he's good to go. Everybody was celebrating having Jair Alexander out there for this rivalry showdown. Yeah. And then, poof, Houdini. What is realistic for us to expect from Jair at this point?
You know, the weird thing, Jen, was I talked to him on, I think it was Thursday. And I talked to him about something else for a story that ran Friday, just about how he's one of the four guys left from LaFleur's first team. But at the end of it, I just asked him, I said, you going to play this week? And he goes, maybe, maybe not. And like, that's kind of what happened, right? Like, he maybe sort of played and then he didn't play. I don't know what to make of it anymore. But I do think when, you know, there's this, what did he miss? How many games last year with injuries? And then of course the suspension. I think there's, you know, availability, right? Like, I mean, it doesn't matter how good you are. Same thing with David Bakhtiari. I mean, Bakhtiari was good when he played. They just couldn't count on him enough. And I do wonder if, you know, Jair's time might be coming to an end simply because they just don't know from week to week whether you're going to have him or not. And you just can't, you cannot have a roster spot, a starting spot, taken by a guy who you just don't know if he's going to play week in and week out. As good as he is, and I still think he's a really good player, I just don't know what good that does.
Rob, how has LaFleur's play calling been of late? To me, it doesn't feel flowy. The creativeness just doesn't seem to be there with play action in this direction. They just seem a little stale.
A little bit. The one thing I will give him credit for, though, is he has stuck with the run even when they've been behind. And I think that was a criticism of him in the past and really of all coaches. I mean, McCarthy, you know, would basically completely abandon it. And what they have rushing attempts yesterday, 25 rushing attempts, you know, that I still in a game where, you know, you weren't necessarily playing from ahead for the entire time. So I will give him credit for that. I do think that maybe some of the motion they – Jaden Reed was in motion a lot yesterday, and I'm not sure any of it did any good, especially as far as getting him the ball. There were a ton of motions pre-snap and at the snap, and you know, I don't know if teams are catching up to that, or they're just not falling for it, or whatever the case may be. But I really kind of think that this team's going to go as far as Josh Jacobs and the run game take them. I said that on the pregame show yesterday, that this is going to – it's almost morphing into a run-first team. And, you know, Jacobs had, 134 yards from scrimmage, including his receptions, which were 4 for 58 yards. So I think if you can get 22 touches and 134 yards out of Josh Jacobs week in and week out, I think you're going to do okay.
Why are they so bad in the red zone?
Decision-making, penalties – play calls. I mean,
it's all bad.
Yeah, it's a buffet game. I mean, it is a buffet of buffoonery in the red zone. So they end up what 3 out of 5 yesterday. Okay, but I felt like for most of the game it wasn't very good. The fact that 3 out of 5 at 60% will bump their percentage, which I think they were 49% on touchdowns going in. 29th in the league. And I know, look, I know the Bears were number one in the red zone defense, but that's just, I mean, if you shoot 60% from the free throw line, you're a bad free throw shooter. If you're 60% in the red zone, I don't think that's good enough.
Who was the MVP of the game yesterday? Are you going to say Carl Brooks? Because he has a 9 and an 8th hand length instead of 9?
I was going to say, by a fingertip, yes. But, you know, from a big play standpoint, I mean, if Christian Watson doesn't make a couple of those catches, you know, and I wrote about him this morning on ESPN.com just about how, you know, this is really the first Christian Watson kind of game that we've seen all year. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a game this year with more than 68 yards receiving, and his most catches were 4. And that's all he had yesterday. But that's him. That's 4 for 150. Again, that's another winning type of stat line. I think if you don't have Christian Watson, you're probably not in a position for Carl Brooks to stick that middle finger up. And you know, it was a big middle finger to the Bears.
Did you use that in your writing this weekend?
I don't think I did. I just kind of came to me right now. But do you remember? It was 25 years ago, almost to the day, that Brian Robinson blocked a field goal at Lambeau for the Bears to beat the Packers. And I believe that was the week Walter Payton died, and they were talking about how, you know, it was Walter that lifted Brian Robinson up to block that kick. I'm not sure what it was that lifted Carl Brooks up, but it was pretty impressive.
Rob, fast forwarding to next year, I know it's a little ways off, but are you giving Quay and Wyatt the fifth-year option?
You know, we actually, Chewy, we talked about that in the press box during the game, me and a couple of the guys, and I think we came to the conclusion that you probably don't, that I don't know that either of them is worthy of it. Not saying that they're in the Eric Stokes situation where that was a complete no-brainer that you don't do it, but this one, I mean, you still have them for next year, okay, and then you can still sign them to an extension, but I wouldn't box myself in on that, and I think that's a great point, and one I really, you know, hadn't started to think about until someone brought it up in the press box yesterday.
Who are their two best pass rushers right now?
might be Brenton Cox, who had played four career snaps before yesterday, and probably Enigbare if you're just talking about pure pass rush and not blitzing.
Gabe is like a dog with a bone.
There's a question.
You knew it. And then Gabe, you asked that question because you knew what the answer was going to be.
I didn't, Rod. That's why I was curious as to the answer of what you thought the answer was.
That's the answer you wanted it to be. And that proved your point that they don't have a pass rusher.
The answer I want it to be is Rashawn Gary because he's getting paid to be one of the best pass rushers.
But I think to prove your point that they don't have one, that was the answer.
Yeah.
That was very good teamwork by you guys. All right, Rob, we'll let you go. We appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, we'll see you soon.
All right, he's Rob Domofsky. Of course, you can follow him on social media. He did talk about that Christian Watson article that he wrote. Check him out on X at Rob Domofsky. Let me see. All right, let me talk about some people. Let me talk about Accutrans. Accutrans is a veteran-owned business dedicated to providing unmatched corporate, personal, and event-related transportation that you will use again and again. From corporate travel and weddings to group events, Accutrans Group caters to every single occasion. Booking is safe and easy and dependable. You can visit their website, AccutransGroup.com, to get a quote or book a reservation today. You guys know the holiday season is here, and if you need somebody to take you to and from your holiday parties, to and from your festivities, so that you can do it safe and responsibly, Accutrans Group are your people. For reliable and safe transportation, go to AccutransGroup.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So overrated.
Come on, his head is a pumpkin.
Yeah, he's so right. Chewy's never been more right about anything.
Ed Sheeran.
Chewy was right. Yeah. Holy Chewy was right.
Yeah. Imagine the helmet on that dome. It'd be the first 8.5 size helmet. What the?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Gentlemen, can we talk about something important? You. Taking care of your health and appearance isn't just about looking good. It is about feeling strong and confident and ready to take on the world. At Quintessa Aesthetic Center, they make it easy. They have experts in advanced skincare, body contouring, and anti-aging treatments. Quintessa is here to help you stay sharp and at your best. And trust me, guys, when you look good. You feel confident, ready to approach the world. So why wait? Visit myquintessa.com to take the first step towards a more confident you. Lots of reaction rolling in today about the Green Bay Packers win over the Chicago Bears. And again, we are not trying to be negative. We're not trying to sit here and say, oh, this team stinks. We're trying to say that if you want to achieve the goals that Packers fans and the Packers franchise have every year, which is Super Bowl or bust, you got to play better, right, Chew? Like, I don't think we're giving them the business too hard.
Well, what do these people think? They played great, and hey, yeah, that was wonderful. I mean, hold flipping teams and players accountable, right? We know it's in there, right? We've seen it. It's in there. Well, it's time to start translating to the field, and it hasn't happened yet, and there's time, but we're running out of time. You can't lose games like this. Thank your stars that you won.
The win feels good. Take that. The win feels great because beating the Bears is always fun. But at this point in the season, you can't ignore the things that continuously pop up, especially coming out of the bye. Like, these are some of the things that you were kind of hoping would get cleaned up in terms of the interceptions, in terms of the drops, in terms of the pass rush. And these things would look better, and they just did not. And to try to ignore that just because they won, that's if you ignore it, Like, and if the Packers were going to go into this week and ignore it, that's how you turn around and end up losing to the San Francisco 49ers this upcoming week.
We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. How worried are you about the Packers right now? We pushed it through the Seinfeld scale, yada, yada, yada. You look a little stressed. I'm freaking out. Right now, 55.5% of people saying you look a little stressed. But Packers Home says, why is this even being asked? They're a 7-3 team, seemingly getting healthier, played away at a division rival and won an ugly game. They changed OCs. That gave them a spark like it normally does for one game. Maybe it goes to two. So Packers Home is not panicking at all. And nobody here is freaking out. There's only 9% of people who are freaking out about a 7-3 team that has a chance still, with seven games ahead of them in the regular season, to make hay, make up some ground in the division. It's just saying, hey, we thought by now it'd look a little different. We thought by now it'd look a little more like it looked last year at the end of the season when they went on a heater. That's all. That's it. Mm-hmm. Don't read too much into it. Have a great day, everybody, because the Packers did get a win. They are 7-3, and they beat the Bears because the Bears still suck. Wilde and Tausch, they don't suck. They're next on ESPN Milwaukee.